This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host, Glenn Martin, and as always, DK in the background running the show. We are excited today, of course, because Ravens minicamp, some mandatory stuff is happening. People are in attendance. We got a lot to talk about. There's a lot of news coming out. We're excited to get into it. But, Glenn, before we do, of course, we got to talk about our proud sponsor, BetOnline. What do we got going on? What's going on over there that we can talk to the folks about today?
Certainly. Yeah, this show is brought to you by BetOnline. It's your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. So don't worry in case you, oh no, the game started. No, no worries. They got in-game gambling available as well. When the games are over, head on over to the online casino. Get on a hand of blackjack, get some poker, or unwind in one of the 150 online slot games. You can also head to the website today and get in on the action using promo code BELIEVE. Get 50% welcome bonus on your initial deposit. That's BLEAV. Get 50% free money on your first deposit. Can't beat it. Bet online. The game starts here.
Yeah, man. Speaking of the game, we'll see what happens with these this upcoming series. It's 2-0.
The Porzingis injury might
throw a monkey wrench in it.
It might change some things. And also, we got to remember, the Celtics lay a stinker, it seems like, at least one every series. So let's wait and see what that stinker looks like. But
no stinkers today out on the Ravens practice field, right?
Certainly not. Certainly not. Big participation today, Jimbo. 93% of the team was in attendance. And those who weren't, for the most part, we have excuses, I guess if you want to call it. So quickly, I'll go through the six absences. To let you know who's not there. Wide receiver Deonte Hardy, return guy. And, man, you hate to even talk about this kind of stuff, but since Coach brought it up in the post-game presser or post-practice presser, he said he felt okay enough to talk about it. Apparently, I mean, you can relate to this, Jimbo, and both of us can. Deontay's 5-week-old going through some tough challenges, readmitted back to the hospital. So certainly hoping for the best for Deonte, his family, and of course his child, first and foremost. 5 weeks old, Jimbo, going through some tough times. So his absence is absolutely excused by the team because of that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we'll hope for the best there, and makes you grateful to have just some health, man. Puts life in perspective real fast.
Yeah, and I'm glad he's with his family. Also, Kyle Hamilton did not practice today. Turns out he had a cleanup surgery, had some loose fragments, I guess, floating around in his elbow. And so they just said, let's just get him out of there. So they got him out of there. They said it's about a 3-week injury, so nothing crazy. He'll be back and ready to go when we need him the most. But he did not participate today. Running back Keaton Mitchell, no surprise there, as he continues to rehab his knee. Yeah. Also, outside linebacker rookie Adisa Isaac did not practice today. We know he got banged up during the rookie mini camps, and I guess he's still dealing with it. Also, and cornerback Christian Matthew. So didn't get clarification on the last two guys as to why they weren't there, but everyone else seems like it's either an injury rate or some personal issues that they're dealing with, all excused absence. So 93%, Jimbo, is pretty good, but this is pretty cool, Jimbo. 80 former Ravens players and their families were invited out today to enjoy practice, to have a post-practice barbecue. Give the opportunity for all the children of those 80 family members or 80 former players to come out and play some touch football, some tackle football in the Ravens practice facilities there. And it's pretty crazy, man. Like when they say, once a Raven, always a Raven. I mean, they brought 80 former Ravens and all their family just to come enjoy the facility. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's so amazing. I mean, that's the Ravens in and of itself, right? Vashadi top down. I mean, that's the kind of culture that we instill. So no surprises, right? I just think it's amazing, but it's just living up to the culture in and of itself. Mm-hmm. I do have to say one thing about those notes is that I really like Adisa.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Really like him. Whatever's going on in Penn State.
I know, right?
Can we stop getting nicked up already? Like, gosh, dang. Especially at the edge. It's like, man, we can't just get a guy that's healthy right now.
Yeah. Worries me, man. And of course, you can't make a noise or get yourself on the field as a rookie if you can't practice. So let's hope that guy, just for his sake, but also for the team, that he can get out there and get some reps, man. He's going to need it if he wants to become a productive member, a participant this season. But nonetheless, pretty good participation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Nobody's holding out due to contract. That's good, because we did see it around the league. We're not here to talk about what everyone else is doing, but you know, you'll see it around the league where these guys will hold out and try and get extra contract. I think I saw guys with like 3 years left on their deal trying to get new. It's like, man, it's nice to know that a lot of these guys are linked up and they're not going anywhere, or inked up, I should say, not going anywhere. But also, Jimbo, I wanted to get your take on this, because we saw Project Pat do an interview with Chris Long on his podcast, and it was kind of interesting because he brought up, they said, look, is there an undrafted rookie that you can tell us about that can get you know, get us excited? And it's funny because he brought up a wide receiver, a smaller wide receiver, and in a position where I think it's not going to be easy to crack the wide receiver room this year, certainly not for an undrafted guy. But he brings up Dayton Wade, undrafted rookie wide receiver out of Ole Miss, I believe, as a guy that's been turning heads, said every day he comes in, you know, the guy's been working, the guy's been impressing, and every day he's flashing, he's making plays, similar to what we heard from about Keaton Mitchell last year, where, undrafted guy came out of absolutely nowhere, but every day the guy was just making plays. So what's your... When you hear that, do you go, he's just hyping up? Because he could have picked anyone. He picked him. What's your take on the hype of Dayton Wade?
Well, I'm a little concerned about Pat's ability to assess a wide receiver.
You don't think our fullback is a good evaluator?
You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know. I realize he's better at it than I am, being the fact that he's a football. Like, I'm not a professional football player. Still, little concerned about that. But the other part is, my question back would be, how good is he at special teams? How much is he contributing? Because even if he turns heads and things like that, unless he's, you know, a once in a generation type undrafted guy that's going to just, you know, take the position of guys that we have, you talked about earlier, inked up on this team, right? That we have is invested serious draft stock in, you know, that there's really no other path for him to make the team. And so I think really what the question is, what it should be, is what are his contributions on special teams? How does he look on special teams? Things like that. That's kind of how I see that going. I just kind of want to take a second. Lisa Ann, we hope that all goes well. Don't be nervous. Everything's going to be fine. You're going to be okay. Doctors send people to those places for protocol. It's not a sentence or a diagnosis, simply protocol. You'll be okay.
Yeah, certainly understand the feelings.
The concern, for sure. But Glenn, really quickly, kind of odd. DK, okay, it's back. Your camera went really fuzzy for like 30 seconds, and now you're back.
It's probably best. It's probably best. We don't need...
just HD a filter, and you're just like...
on this mug. Yeah, we need to keep that as blurry as possible. There's no doubt.
Oh my gosh. But yeah. So, I mean, I just would want to know how he's contributing on special teams. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I just look at it like, just from a pure roster construction standpoint, I go, is his only chance
how's the math?
Practice squad? Because just, you know, numbers are organized, Jimbo, as you know. And you know, Zay's the one, right? Bateman's the two. Aguilar's the three. I think four is an argument between Tez Walker, Tylan Wallace. And then, so that's your four and five. And then,
yeah,
Deontay Hardy, we just got done talking about. He's supposed to be, he's a former all-pro return guy in a year that the return game is going to be, you know, more emphasized than we've seen in a long, long time. And you have a chance to make plays. So I think Deontay Hardy has a big chance of making the team. But I mean, behind him, there's a ton of guys, dude, like Kadir Ismail. I mean, we're talking Kadri's son could very well be fighting for that same last roster spot. Malik Cunningham, we kept hearing about the plays that guy's been making since transitioning from a quarterback over to wide receiver. I mean, Sean Ryan, we've heard coach drop his name as a guy who's been in the facilities all winter. This guy's been working hard. So I just wonder, like, where's the avenue? And I think you're right. It could be if you can prove yourself to be versatile enough to play on all special teams, not just, you know, I'm not saying Dayton Wade has to fight these guys to be a return guy, but you got to be able to learn how to tackle. You better be able to run down there and make tackles like we saw from Tylan Wallace in his entire career so far. And if practice squad is where you start, then that, you know, that's where you start. That's not where you finish, but it's pretty cool to know that these young guys are turning heads. I did see Zay have an opportunity working with him one-on-one, I think last week, pulling him aside. That's a good sign. I don't think veteran – well, I don't know if you call him a vet, but I don't think it's crazy. Like 22. He's second year. But I don't think those guys do that for just anyone. Like they have to see something in a guy to be willing to pull a guy aside and spend the extra time with him.
Yeah, no, that's fair. The other thing I was going to mention too in regards to that is I wonder what his ability would be to return.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, is there an opportunity there? Not, you know, we always think of special teams, like you talked about it, tackling, defending the special, you know, but is there more of an opportunity here to return? And then also, last thing I want to mention about special teams, we've kind of already beat this dead horse to an absolute powder. But will there be more full-time defensive players will there be less offensive players roster-wise playing the kickoff coverage position?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, does this lessen Tylan Wallace's ability to go out there and be a gunner or Justice Hill or something like that? Because we don't have gunners anymore.
Right.
You know,
now, you still do in punt game, but not,
I guess that's
right,
true.
Kickoff. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I just kind of wonder if there'll be more, you know, it's look, maybe more opportunity for, like, will the roster percent, you know, we carry an extra DB or two extra linebackers or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see. But
yeah, will the edge group grow and will the DB room shrink a little bit with this change? Because you're right. It was traditionally a extra wideout, extra running back, extra DB because you need some speed. But you don't need the speed as much anymore, at least not in the kick return game.
Yeah. But so. I kind of want to turn my focus, if it's all right with you, Glenn, to a position group and a specific player. Of course, the offensive line. Sorry, DK, we kind of ran past that video on you. But he had the Pat Ricard video, but we had already kind of spoiled it. Okay. But I want to talk about the offensive line, and I want to talk about Ronnie.
Yeah.
We've already kind of talked about Ronnie and like where we should feel. But now, you know, getting some time to see him in front of a microphone, see him in person, like – Ronnie said this is the healthiest he's felt since 2020. It's a long time.
And that was before the injury started.
Right. So, like, did anything from today and the presser and as of late move the needle for you on getting excited about Ronnie Stanley? Are you in full-on stop, wait, and see mode until we get into week four? Right? Like, where are you with Ronnie?
I'm excited. I'm letting myself get excited because...
I knew you would.
I have to, because look, he's saying he feels as quick and as athletic as he's ever been, Jimbo. How could you not be excited? I mean, the only thing that has held Ronnie Stanley back over these last few years is his health. That's it. So if he tells you that he's healthy and everything we're seeing, I mean, we heard a play that was I think last week. Somebody got up and tipped the ball at the line of scrimmage. The ball was fluttering up in the air. Ronnie caught the ball. Put a little move on somebody, hit a spin on somebody, just instinctually. I mean, this guy is feeling great. He's moving great. And if we can have a tackle with that guy's athleticism, we know what Rodgers bringing in that crazy athletic score he put up during the combine and the draft process. We could have maybe the two most athletic tackles in the league. Certainly, yeah. If you just grade them as a pair,
yeah.
And then you think about what Tyler brings from an athleticism standpoint at the center position, and then what do we get from the? So then it's just like, what do we get from the guards, right? That's the only question. But yeah, I'm feeling so excited for. I'm just fingers crossed. Nobody roll up on Ronnie. Can nobody fall into the back of Ronnie's ankle? No calves. Because that's literally the only thing I think that holds Ronnie back is just your bad luck, Jimbo.
Yeah, because I think outside of mobility and things like that doesn't give him an opportunity. I think the only thing it's not like he was crazy slow last year. To me, what I felt was missing was just his ability to set a base and anchor and have some strength to him. You know what I mean? And I think that's from the lack of opportunity to get stronger, and because he's just simply rehabilitating. Is that the word?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I've been speaking a lot of Spanish today. So I'm all over the place. Okay. Yeah. So he's kind of, he hasn't really had the opportunity to get himself in the weight room for a proactive reason. Right. But more of an more of a need to kind of get to some semblance of what he was. So I'm excited about it, but John said that his goal is to have the offensive line set by 2 weeks into training camp, but it could go into the preseason. Where do you think by 2 weeks into training camp we'll know? Like, do you really see this going into the preseason? It sounds like they're already pretty high on Voorhees. It seems to be the rumblings. And so really, to me, there's only one spot. And Rosengarten seems to be the shoe that fits. Like, he seems to fit the bill. Now, he's going to be a rookie. He'll have some growing pains, but it's not like he's out there and he's a flop, right? He already seems like the best right tackle on the team at this point.
Yep.
So, like, it's really only the guard, the right guard left, right?
Yep.
It seems that way right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'd still say it's both guards.
You think so?
I think you're right. They're excited about Voorhees, but they still haven't seen him against anybody yet. So you kind of got to hold your breath and wait, at least till the pads come on in camp. But yeah. I think if they had their way, yeah, they already had know their starting five. They know what they want it to be.
Do you think they want it to be Cleveland at right guard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because who else is there? I mean, and he's had moments. If you look at the numbers, he had really, really good, like, elite moments, last year.
Dude, if he comes in and crushes it, me and so many other, like, I know he doesn't watch shows, I don't care. Vinny Serrano's going to have to eat so much crow.
Oh, I know, right?
So much. Dude, I sat next to him, and first of all, Vinny doesn't like talking to people at training camp.
No.
So, shout out to you, Vinny. But I did get, because you know me, Glenn, I can get a sentence or two out of anybody.
That's right.
Right, I'll get a wall to talk back to me.
Yes, you will.
And finally, I got him talking a little bit. And dude, he
had no confidence in this guy.
Destroyed poor Ben Cleveland. To point, I felt bad for the guy. He said, "Look at him. He doesn't play strong. He doesn't play fast. He was like, can't move his feet. Like, he doesn't have any redeeming qualities to make up for his lack of ability in these other areas." I'm like, dude, that was brutal. I mean, it was brutal. Look, I'm not the former GM, so.
Yeah, oh no, I mean.
What am I going to say back?
I trust his eye, for sure. Yeah, it's got to be, I think what's most frustrating, because people don't get frustrated like that over guys that they don't see the potential in. I think what frustrates guys like Vinny and other guys that watch Ben Cleveland is shit, he can do it. He just
He looks the part.
And he has the strength. He just doesn't always play with that kind of strength. But we know it's there.
Yeah.
And it's just frustrating because when a guy is put – I mean, he's put together. That boy is put together. To be that heavy and to have no gut is insane. Like, that guy is well put together.
I found myself feeling like Ben Cleveland the other day.
Why is that?
Well, because, look, this is the thing. Ben looks the absolute part, doesn't always play the part, right? And, dude, I was – kind of laughing the other day because when I was, so I did the 10 miler, but like no one in my time looks like me.
Much more slender and long.
No one looks like me, dude. Like, not a person. Like there's just, and I'm like,
how many look like my body size?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, half to 75%. There's some other people that are my like height. For sure. There's a lot of really fast, shorter runners, but none of them, like for my size in comparison to runners, I'm generally broad.
Hey, what are you, 30 pounds heavier than all the guys that you're
height? You know what I mean? So anybody that's my height is, you know what I mean? And
well,
I'm
they're
like,
training to run. And you did a lot of weight training.
But it's just, it was funny, man. So I'm like, well, I wonder if people could like, I can get,
you think they're sizing you up and they're going,
oh, absolutely. I love it, dude. And I take the shirt off. I'm some like pudgy dude getting ready to go. And I'm up at the six, you know, the 6 minute with the 6 minute group. That's and they're like, all right, let's do this, baby. But I found myself feeling like Ben Cleveland a little bit because, you know, like you said, it's not always about what you look. It can be frustrating when you look at Ben coming off the bus, but what can you do when you're out there? Right. It's not always about the way that you appear.
Because like if you stood him and McCary next to each other, you'd go, there's no way McCary's better than
him. That's what I am running. I'm McCary to offensive line. That's exactly what it is. But like, yeah, so you're, that's a good point. It's just a frustrating thing to like, Ben, you have so many physical gifts that other people simply don't have. Imagine if McCary just looking, I was like, dude, do you know what would happen if I had my brain inside your body? Like,
that'd be an animal right there, yeah, bro.
You know what I mean? So, but so anyway, I hope he really takes off. I'm going to start captaining the Ben Cleveland hype train, positive vibe train. Let's go, Ben Cleveland. First of all, because I've been really harsh on Ben. And but so is everyone else. And you know what? Screw it. Let's stay healthy, Ben. Let's not be made of glass this year. Let's not get nicked up. And no soft tissue issues. Let's chill with the alcohol a little bit. You know, and let's get it done.
Yeah, yeah.
Not saying he's a big drinker, but I know that's associated with soft tissue issues. So I'm not trying to put any, you know.
Is that right? There. Okay. All right, I got to be careful. I got to be careful out there. I've been having a couple brewskis lately. But yeah, I think if they...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Had their way. Their offensive line is already what we saw in the first time we saw them at minicamp.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that group, I think, has to play their way out of not being the starters.
And how much better do we feel now? Because, dude, you know how I was about this offensive line going in the draft, and I think a lot of us were. But how much better do we feel now knowing that we have a kid at right guard, or excuse me, right tackle, that I think has a high floor? We don't know what his ceiling is yet. I think he has a high ceiling as well, but he has a high floor.
Yeah.
And dude, after that interview we did with this guy, the guy, if you guys haven't seen the video, go back and check it out. It's probably a month ago, a guy that had been covering Rosengarten since high school. We interviewed and said he could be an all pro Quentin Nelson type right tackle. Gets me excited, man. Makes me feel so much better about this line and the health of Ronnie, of course.
Yeah, I think this line has every chance to be better than it was last year.
Fingers crossed.
If Ronnie can play not 2019 Ronnie, Jimbo.
Or anything close to it.
Yeah, just you know? Get near that. Dude, this is going to be a scary, scary offense. That's the remaining question, like in my mind. Some people may question other position groups. They might say, well, I still don't think we have enough at wide receiver. I think we're fine at wide receiver. I think absolutely fine. The only question I had is, what's the offensive line going to look like with that many new starters? And man, I'm allowing myself to start to get a little bit excited about this group. And man, if they can be good, whew,
Let's go. It is the foundation of everything, and it gets me really hyped up. It's funny, dude, when I get excited about the old O-line, I feel like such an old man. But, dude, I'm totally here, and I'm embracing it.
You're just a wise football fan.
I'm just embracing it. Well, because – thank you. I appreciate it. But, look, that's where it starts and ends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, outside of the quarterback.
Yep. It's one of those positions just like that. It's like no matter how good you are, if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to be winning. It's like no matter how good you are, if you got a terrible offensive line, you're not winning. It's just the bottom line. But I do want to go over some of the practice notes that came
out today.
It looks like, and this is kind of expected, the defense is ahead when it comes to once the starters got there. And that makes sense because a lot of the guys are returning and have plenty of playing experience. And let's be honest, the offense is more of a timing. You know, it takes more time to get your feet under you than it does on the defensive side of the ball. And man, they noticed it when the starters came back. So having Marlon back, that's a big one, right? Because a lot of people were unsure if Marlon was going to be a full participant. He was back at it today. And having Marlon, Brandon Stevens, Arthur Maulette, and Marcus Williams all on the field together, the clamps were on, Jimbo, is what we're seeing. And by the way, shout out to Kyle Phoenix, these notes from helping us out because he was at the game or at the practice and we were not. But yeah, it looks like defense was real. The secondary specifically was really winning the day today. Really hyped up Maulette. Arthur Maulette was apparently absolutely everywhere today. Very little receptions ended in his area. It's apparently he punched out a ball out of Zay Flowers' hands, forcing a fumble. He then recovered that same fumble. And then, let's see, the defense lifted him in the air in celebration. Then later on, he picks off Lamar Jackson, which he then elicits cheers from his defensive teammates. So I think that could end up being one of the more underrated re-signings, getting Arthur Maulette back this year.
Dude, I tell you what, overall, I mean, I totally agree with your statement, but overall, I think the national, as wrong as I think a lot of the national media was about the Ravens coming into last season, I think that they're going to be so much more incorrect about how the Ravens will end up doing this year. And I think that's because you just talked about it. These under the radar players, right? Like Ben Cleveland has every opportunity to go out there and dominate. He has the tools to do so. Arthur Maulette is a guy that will never be talked about in the national media who is turning heads inside our locker room, just like Brandon Stevens did the year before. But I think that more than other years, we have a lot of guys who are quote-unquote under-the-radar guys to the national media that can provide so much quality depth and reps and starter-level reps to this team. It's just getting me so excited, man. I absolutely cannot wait to see how this team looks as it you know, rounds into form. But man, that has me excited to hear that a guy like Arthur Maulette is your defensive star, knowing how many defensive studs we have.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible, dude. Just incredible.
Yeah, and I think if he's playing well, he just exudes that swagger, that confidence that I think all the rest of the teammates certainly feed off of. And it makes sense that they were picking him up because that's the kind of – I mean, that guy just brings – he brings joy to the field and he motivates his teammates. But I will say this. There were some offensive highlights today. It wasn't like completely dominated by the defensive side of the ball. They had some plays. Apparently, they had a one-minute drill period where Lamar Jackson marched him right down the field in six plays and hit a touchdown pass to Tylan Wallace.
Dude.
Route against your boy, Brandon Stevens. So they did certainly have some moments. It was kind of funny today. Apparently, false starts and offside penalties are eliciting laps now from the coach. Coach is making you run.
Good.
So six Good. Players had to run laps today.
Hey, Glenn, I have a question. Okay. How many feet are in a mile?
5,280.
How many feet are in a mile? What's that from?
I don't know.
Remember the Titans. You it's pick up that so football long. And you run every single one of them. You're killing me, Petey. You're killing me. Yeah, that's – anyway, the laps for penalties and fumbles and stuff. Let's go. Get them running, dude.
Yeah, make them run. I'm sure this isn't something new to them. They probably saw it throughout their years in football. But Ronnie took a lap. Zay had to take a lap for a false start. Falele, Sean Ryan.
And I don't want to see any walking or trotting. I want knees up on these laps. Let's go.
Yeah, we're out here to work. We're out here to get better. And Josh Johnson apparently was the first to take a lap. So the quarterback leading the way. Like, you'd like to see that.
Accountable.
Yeah,
because look, those are drive killers, man.
Can't have them.
Drive killers. But I want to just hone in really quickly on Tylan Wallace, because it also looks like he made all catches but one today, had a pretty solid practice. Mm-hmm. Look, another under the radar guy. Tylan excelled at the end of the year last year as a special teams performer. But if I'm not mistaken, he did really well in preseason, didn't he?
Yeah.
From a wide receiver perspective. Yeah. Didn't he take off? He had some nice plays. So anyway, all I was going to say is that Tylan has always been known to have good hands. I don't know what it is exactly that the team hasn't seen that doesn't give him more opportunities, just because we haven't seen a ton of him. You know what I mean? Right. We just haven't seen a lot of him out there on the field. So for me to make an accurate assessment, or any assessment, would be just grasping at straws. But I'm excited to see his development. Do you think there's any chance he comes in and makes a big step going into this year?
Well, I mean, his chance might be on special teams. And we're kind of penciling in Deontay Hardy because he's a former All-Pro.
Yeah.
But let's not forget the splash plays we saw from Tylan on special teams. And I know that they were primarily at punt return, but with this new kickoff, it kind of looks like a punt return in a lot of ways. You know, it's not the same as an old fashioned kick return. Yeah. So I wonder if his value and his role could increase just from becoming our primary return guy, which would free up a roster spot. Because if you're telling me Deontay Hardy is just a return guy, right, well, then you got to absorb a roster spot for a guy who's only on the field for those two plays. Where if Tylan, we know what he can do as a gunner. We know what he can do as a receiver, and we know what he can do as a return guy. So it might be a guy who can just check more boxes and create an additional roster spot. But as far as breaking in, I think he would need an injury to break in to a bigger offensive role.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, man, there's just so many good players ahead of him. Yeah.
Well, I think we should do this, Glenn, and we'll promise this to the viewers. Before actual training camp starts, in between, you know, during the break, we will give a list of maybe 2 to 3 on the defensive and offensive side of the ball. Some like under the radar breakout guys that we see the national media is not going to cover, but we believe in guys that we're putting stock in early when it's like Glenn bought stock in the Orioles. Because it was still the lowest stock you can buy.
I'm letting it ride.
When's the last time you checked on it?
Dude, it's been a minute, bro. I'm just letting it go. Just letting it build.
Yeah, man. I think you get 5 or 10 cents a win per share. You know, so you're sitting on a gold mine. But my point is that I think that we should definitely do something like that. Because I'm not ready to say he's my Brandon Stevens for this year. I gotta anoint a guy, right? But I gotta find who my Brandon Stevens is, right? But there's always a guy or two every year.
Yeah.
You know, true. And I think we got a lot of those candidates.
Yeah. I still can't believe you picked I still can't believe you were so right about Brandon Stevens. Like,
dude,
he turned out to be a hell of a
just
player.
All the makeup, the mental makeup, man. And you knew he had the athleticism. Yeah.
And like you said, even when he was not making the play, he was right there.
Yeah.
He was right on your hip. You ain't getting wide open on Brandon Stevens. It ain't happening.
No. It's just not. Yeah, exactly. Not at this point in his career. Maybe 10 years from now. But not at this point.
Not at this point. Also wanted to I wanted to address this a little bit. Roquan Smith was asked about Trenton Simpson, and he kind of hit on something that really rung a bell with me. He said he don't understand how fast, how explosive, and how powerful he is. And I think that's so true with a lot of players. And usually I see it more in the younger guys. Like I see it, you know, in youth sports where you can see that this kid's got all the speed, the power, and quickness in practice. But then when they get on the field, it doesn't always translate on the field for whatever reason. And I always drill it down to confidence. Like if once you unlock his confidence, all that stuff starts to show through on the field. And I think that's going to be the case with Trenton Simpson. If they can unlock that confidence, that explosiveness, that speed, that power, that ability to convert speed to power, mm-hmm. I think all that's going to shine as soon as this guy gets confidence. And look, I know it's going to sound like, because look, I don't have anything really against Patrick Queen other than the fake tough guy stuff I've been seeing lately. And I know if anyone from the Steelers fan nation is going to see this, they're going to go, it's just because he left and you couldn't afford him and all that bullshit. I have confidence that Trenton Simpson has every bit of chance to be just as good, if not better, than Patrick Queen was in this system it, maybe not day one, certainly, but we're talking about Patrick Queen was not very impressive to the fan base until what year when Roquan got here? So the fact that this guy, I think this guy has every chance to be just as good and impactful as Patrick Queen is. Don't know if it's going to be right now, but I'm saying once he unlocks that confidence, because he's got every physical, like he's fit. If they just raced, I think Trenton would beat him in a foot race. If they just lifted, I think Trenton would be outlift him. Like, so what? Why can't he be just as good a player, if not better?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's all just like you said. It's going to come down to the confidence, the reps. It's the only thing that's hard for me. There obviously are a ton of breakout rookies, so I guess this goes against my logic. But for me, it all comes down to time on task, right? Like, and I guess you can get enough reps to feel really confident, but he's got to get out there and simulate it in his head, simulate it by himself, simulate it in practice without and with pads over and over and over again. And as long as I think he has that dedication, I can't disagree with you. Cause like you said, the gifts are there. The athleticism is there. So I hope it works, man. I hope that he welcomes the physicality. I hope that he, you know, takes on the task of having to tackle these really gifted running backs, these big tight ends and things like that. Because look, at the end of the day, that's the one thing I think that really frustrated us. Forget PQ's simple miscues and coverage and things like that. But like when you're there to make the tackle, make the tackle. That's job number one. Everybody, not everybody. I won't say everybody. A lot of people were okay with CJ Mosley leaving. And we've had good people after CJ. But let me tell you what, CJ Mosley was Velcro. If he got his hands on you, you were on the ground. And you know, we didn't that it, as soon as we saw PQ come in, we were expecting that to be the exact same thing, at least that part of it. And we realized quickly that while sure, he might be faster than CJ, he just doesn't have he doesn't welcome the physicality the same way. And so I hope that he does that, right? Because the other stuff will come, but he's got to start there.
Yeah, no, you're so right about that. Absolutely. I have no worries about his ability to, you know, take down ball carriers and all that stuff. It's just, can he see it, react, and then go get it quick enough? That's my only question. It's just all about the processing, because I think he's got all the physicality and all that stuff.
And I tell you what, during training camp and stuff, Roquan kind of talked about this today, but getting to go up against Derrick Henry in practice, I mean, it's not going to – I think I've talked to you about this before. The best way to prepare for a big event coming up is just traumatize yourself in training. You just traumatize yourself. Now, I know there's probably a better way to say that, but, like, if you want to traumatize yourself in training, well, you're going up against Derrick Henry every day.
And Pat Ricard. Let's not forget that guy.
Right. So, like, if you can deal with that, other stuff is going to be a breeze.
You'd think. I mean, you know, that's the biggest backfield probably in NFL history.
Seriously.
Like, it's got to be.
For maybe whoever Jerome Bettis was with as a fullback, right?
I guarantee he wasn't 310.
No, but I mean, Jerome had to be pushing 3+, right?
I'd like to know. DK, see if you can look
whatever they had it listed at. Dude, you got to add
a couple pounds. But you got to remember, Derrick Henry is freakishly large himself.
He's so tall, too. That's the thing.
Yeah, what, 6'4", 6'3", 6'4"?
Whatever, dude. But for a back, he's so tall.
But fullbacks, there's not a ton. Even Allstott isn't Pat Ricard.
No, yeah, like, you're right. I mean, Pat Ricard can play without pads and look the same. Really, you know what I'm saying? Like, he could have lacrosse pads on.
Yeah. Now he could just take the shoulder pads out of a suit, a women's suit,
right?
Strap them under his shirt and wreck people.
Like, you remember the pads that, who is that dude that from the Seahawks used to play with? His defensive lineman. He has a twin brother, also played in the NFL.
Oh, Bennett.
Yeah. Martellus, remember those like tiny pounds? Dude, I don't believe that at all. There's no way that dude at peak butterball was 250.
I'm just saying, Glenn, dude.
So what that means is that he was
Derrick Henry's
100
like
to 90 pounds heavier than me. There's no way. He was three.
Well, I just weighed my, I was 188.
Okay.
Yeah. He looks a lot bigger than 70 pounds heavier than me. That's
not a chance, dude. So what you're saying is Derrick Henry weighs more than Jerome Bettis did?
No, Jerome had him by 5 pounds. According to that.
Bro, stop.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bit.
But I would venture to say that the fullback blocking for Jerome was probably smaller than him.
Yeah.
Like, as crazy as it sounds, he's probably smaller than him. And we know that Project Pat's a big boy. He's a big boy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. He's an absolute monster. Absolute monster.
Oh, by the way, I want to give you a little heads up. I know you'd like hearing this. That, well, you might not like the first part. Lamar tried to hit Derrick Henry out of the backfield. He bobbled the would-be catch, quickly picked off by Brandon Stevens and taken the other way.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that first part.
No.
Well,
no.
Look, let's just know what he does and what he doesn't do. Like, look, Monken, let's not get cute.
If we're going to throw it to him, let's throw it to him on easy routes. Let's not ask this dude to run a wheel route up the sideline.
Yeah. Or I got a better idea. Let's just not throw it to him.
Yeah, but I don't mind getting that ball any which way you want to get it to him.
Until that happens.
Well, yeah, I don't like that part.
And then you're going to be throwing the remote at the TV. Like, why doesn't that go to Justice Hill? Why doesn't that go to Keaton Mitchell eventually, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
But you're right.
The thought of getting him on the outside where there's small guys to try and tackle him is pretty exciting.
Right, yeah, where he looks like Calvin Johnson.
Yeah. You know,
as far as his size disparity comparison to these backs.
Yeah, just looking like an absolute freak.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I want him to get the ball. And the last thing I want out of this Derrick Henry thing, Glenn, is like, a stat line where it says Derek touched the ball 6 times a game, 8 times a game. Because I just feel like his value is so diminished as a player at that point. Like, yeah, he's the type of guy, he's a diesel motor, dude. He needs some time. He needs, you know what I mean? That second half is really where he gets going. And so he needs that 12, 15, or 16 to 15 to 17. He needs touches, man. He just does. So, like, yeah, to me, if you're going to commit to him, you got to commit to the touches.
Yeah, I think if you can find a way to get Gus Edwards 13 touchdowns, come on.
But Gus had a career low in touches last year, didn't he?
Well, he had 198 carries.
Yeah, that's low.
No way.
Yeah.
Is it?
I'm gonna look it up. It has to be.
Let me take a look. So 198 was his carries this year. I got to imagine that because he was always the second guy behind anyway, right? All right, here we go. I got the stats here.
Man,
my computer is so slow.
If I'm so off, I'm going to be shocked.
Let's see. It's a career high. It's not even close.
What?
It's not even close.
It felt like he was never on the field.
So 198 was his carries last year.
I guess it's because he was the guy.
Yeah, the next closest was in 2020 at 144. So literally 54 more than his next closest.
I think what did it for me was that I think situationally, like, we were so used to seeing him be the closer.
And you know, where
he was getting a lot of reps
half.
in Yeah, he was getting a lot of reps in bunches. So yeah, maybe that's why it felt different to me, but I'm shocked. Wow.
More passes than ever in his career, which that shouldn't shock you since he
had I'm sure it'll be the same for Derrick Henry.
Maybe. I mean, he only caught 12 last year. Let's not act like this guy was Randy Moss in his prime. But yeah, I mean, if you can get 198 carries and 13 tutties for Gussie, then I got to imagine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking how many touchdowns is the. What's your, if he plays, say, 16 of the 17 games, let's say he gets dinged up for one. Gus had 13 last year. How many touchdowns is Derrick Henry getting this year? Is 15 like a safe number?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Let's not get cute in the red zone. Give him the ball.
That's right.
Yeah, but I want to talk about this Mark Andrews ordeal, Glenn.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on here. Of course, reading some reporting on Mark Andrews. Apparently, he was going. We were talking about Avengers before the show, but he is he's going full on Thor or Hulk or whoever. He's like yelling in practice and you know, getting super intense in some one on one drills and
I love that.
Yeah, the description was he was going full bore. Like,
I love that.
Hey, yeah. Man, I love it as well. I'm excited to see what he can do. You know, 11 on 11, Andrews got, you know, targets to receptions, if I'm not mistaken, in the one-on-one drills. So,
But let the rookies know, let the young guys know, the newcomers know on the first day that the vets are back. This is how we practice. This is the intensity level we're bringing every day. So you better match it. You better bring your hard hat. You better pack your lunch. We come to work. We don't come to goof around. That's what I like about Mark. Mark ain't the silliest guy on the team. He ain't out here cracking jokes and bumping it. No, dude came out to work, and he brings a level of intensity. Look, everybody, you missed the production on the field, but you also missed that in practice when Mark Andrews was hurt last year.
Yep.
And thank goodness the hip drop tackle ain't going to take him away from us this year. At least if it is, hopefully he'll be penalized. But, yeah, this guy, he is just a baller. Loves to play, and he ratchets up the intensity level for the whole team.
Yeah, I think it's funny because everything about Mark's life, without even knowing the guy, you can tell that it's geared around being a better football player. His wardrobe, clean, very simple. His haircut, the same since college. Right, he doesn't want to put any mental energy, time, anything into any of that. If it doesn't have to do with the football. Dude, love it. Gotta love a guy like that. Might be the hardest working tight end in the NFL. I'm expecting huge things from Mark Andrews this year. I'm looking forward to it. Just when you think he's kind of hit the ceiling as far as his ability, and this is what we'll continue to see. Now I'm expecting more. Like, that's not even fair, but I'm expecting more.
Well, I think some people, it's kind of interesting because as fans, we see the shinier new toy and we maybe forget what the other one can do for us. The old faithful. I think everybody's ready to like give Isaiah his job, or not everybody, but there's a portion of Ravens fans that's ready to give Isaiah likely Mark Andrews job. And even Isaiah likely he sings Mark Andrews praises like no other and talks about the kind of player that guy is. And I think people are going to be reminded this year that Isaiah likely is a hell of a player. But there's a reason Mark Andrews is an all-pro. Like, that guy is that good. He's just a difference maker. And I just hope that he can get through this whole season healthy. That'd be nice.
Yeah, you know, I can't argue with you. Now, the other thing I want to mention, shout out to Derrick Henry. Said the exact opposite about the food here in Baltimore. This is important. This is important news. Yeah. Said the exact opposite about the food here in Baltimore to what PQ said. Food is good as hell. He's absolutely right.
What a clown.
Dude, come on, man. How much more bitter can you get, bro?
It's talking about the phony ass. I mean, first of all, he comes out lying, talking about how he turned down $4 to $5 million more per year to go to a winner. You went to the Steelers. Can we remind the guy he went to the Steelers? Who I think they were going to be better. But let's not act like they're more of a winner than Seattle or more of a winner. Like, we're talking about the 70s, guys. Okay? We're talking about right now. Who's got a better chance to win right now? That dude's a goofball. That dude's an absolute goofball. And I can't wait until we play him and just see Project Pat smash him in his mouth.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Or I mean, him just absolutely spun around like a top trying to chase down Justice Hill in a wheel route.
We can see another Derrick Henry highlight, stiff arm into the dirt.
Oh, how awesome would that be?
I'd love every second of it. I'd be like, he's still a Raven. I'd be telling all those Steelers fans, look, he's still a Raven. He's helping us. He's still helping us. That's right.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. You got any other notes for me?
Let's see here. I think we took care of all of them. Let me just quickly double check here. Man, I tell you what I can't wait for is the pads to come on. I mean, this is cool and all, but I really can't wait for the pads to come on now to see some of these guys going up against each other. Oh, one thing I think was cool that Coach mentioned is that there's a new emphasis to QBs on their cadence at the line of scrimmage, because I remember the great QBs like Manning, Brady, even I'll put Aaron Rodgers in that category. Their ability to use their cadence to their advantage at the line of scrimmage, I think, is one of the more underrated things that these guys do to keep the defense off balance. I remember the years when Joe Flacco was here, where it was almost like defenders were literally hitting the line of scrimmage on a sprint when we were snapping the ball, how they timed out our cadence. And the good ones have that ability to get you not only to jump, but then to recognize the jump, snap the ball, and then to take that free play. Don't just take the penalty. Use that free. I mean, Peyton would do it all the time. He'd see a guy running off, trying to get off the field. He'd be like, hurry, hurry, hurry. Snap it with that guy on the field. Now we have a free play. Go deep. Throw the ball up. And we'd see it all the time. I love quarterbacks. That's the next level to playing the quarterback position. Use your cadence to screw with the other team's timing. Yep. If the team can't time your snap, that destroys their pass rush. So I love that there's a renewed focus on the quarterback cadence at the line.
Yeah, no, I agree with you because, I mean, yeah, I think that's a great point. Adding that to your arsenal, I mean, the way Aaron Rodgers does it, the way Peyton Manning was an absolute salesman at the line.
Yes.
Like, couldn't you imagine Peyton Manning be like what did people used to do back in the day? It was like big thing. They would sell like frozen meat at your door.
Oh, dude, Capital Meats.
You know what I'm saying? Like, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't you see Peyton Manning showing up at your door with the shiny forehead and like?
Well, I can tell you one thing, Jimbo. This doesn't shock you. Joey did it.
How long did he do it for, and was he successful?
Dude. He was kind of a
I can see Joey hustling.
Dude.
Let me tell you what.
Dude, he'll knock on your door and ask you to buy some shit.
It's funny. I guess I'm not surprised. I was in the door-to-door game for 3 years. You find some people.
Yeah.
Some characters. Let me tell you what.
Yeah.
But no, I agree with you. The cadence there is going to be a big piece of that. And I also agree with you in that I'm glad there's an emphasis on it. And hopefully it means more than when Roman says there's an emphasis on something.
Yeah. I mean, right. We never see the results. Yeah.
Now, DK has some rapid fire for us, unless you got some.
Nah, let's go.
All right, let's do it, DK. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, okay.
Oh, best chess player. Well, we know who all time. It's that guy. What's that guy? John Urschel. Remember him?
I wouldn't mess with him. Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. But right now. Man, who's their best chess player right now? I'm trying to think of who's the most like cerebral. Man, I wouldn't be shocked if Roquan's a good chess player. Now, I know he's all ball, but I don't know. He's just so intense with his competitiveness. I wouldn't be shocked if that guy is. Marlon strikes me as the guy who plays chess, but he sucks at it, I bet.
Yeah, I'm sure he gets beat by the computer every time. Probably and then he puts it on easy. Really easy.
Feels good about dominates. Himself. Yeah, like yeah.
For some reason, I see Ronnie being good at chess.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I agree there, Ronnie.
Yeah, like Ronnie seems like a strategy gamer.
He does.
You know what I mean?
He's got a piece.
The guru is his nickname. Like, I can see Ronnie being.
I'm gonna agree with you and say Ronnie.
Nice. I like it. All right, DK. What else we got?
Oh, there we go. You caught that thumbs up. You thought you could sneak that thumbs up in there and not nobody noticed. This is a good one. Which Marvel superhero represents play like a Raven?
It's Cap.
Yeah, because he could do it all day.
And he never quits.
Never quits.
Never quits. Never say die attitude. Plays every play to the end. Plays welcome.
But also, character matters.
Character matters. That's right. And look, Cat's number one virtue is his character.
That's right. I like that one. That's an easy one almost when you said it.
Yeah.
I think Rocket has a little bit of play like a Raven in him.
Ooh, you know, Rocket's the attitude, been through some the stuff. Intelligence, yeah, the aggressiveness.
Smart as a whip. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good
one. And the remember when they had his boys in that big ass spaceship. He pulled up in this little ass bot with a bomb he made himself. Like, give me my people back. I'm gonna blow your whole big ass ship up with this little ass bomb I'm on. So yeah, I like Rocket as well.
Dude, Rocket is the man. I like that a lot. That's good. Yeah. All right. What else you got, DK?
Well, of course, Hawk. He said, "What about Hawk?" Like, I'd like Hawk on the team. Put him on D line. Go get the quarterback.
Ooh. Just give him the ball.
That's true. Good luck tackling.
I know.
Incredible Hawk.
Oh, this one's easy.
Let's see. Who is the
Ravens player on the current roster that is most likely to become an NFL head coach? This has got to be Roquan.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because look at what who's the coach for Houston?
D'Amico Ryan. Vrabel?
Vrabel? Well,
right. Wasn't Salah? Did Salah play in the league?
Yeah, he was D end. He was the front seven guy.
Salah's in there. Yeah.
Linebackers make good coaches.
They do.
So I think that's a really good one. Jimbo's on it tonight. He was on it with these rapid fires. Because there's nobody who I would say would be better than Roquan, right? This guy loves, like, I feel like when he goes to
sleep, they have to love football, right?
He dreams football. There's no time that Roquan's not thinking about football.
And I see Mark as the type of guy that, even though he loves football, it's different in that as soon as Mark retires, he's going to become the most entrenched into whatever it is his next passion is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to become the best day trader of all time and somehow become a trillionaire because he figured out how to day trade or something. You know what I mean?
I think Kyle Hamilton is a little hard to recognize because he's young.
Yeah.
But I think as he matures, I think we'll see that guy could be an NFL head coach.
But does he have the delivery like Roquan? You know what I mean?
Nobody
does. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like it's
unique, man.
Yeah, he is unique that way. So yeah.
Oh, Calvin Noy, I like that legend. That's a good one. Oh, hold on. You see this? Tanja says, who remembers the Ravens wild with Roquan beating everyone in chess? I knew he was a good chess player. I just had a feeling he was a good chess player, dude, because he's such a competitor, dude. And chess is a beautiful game. Nobody's ever played it. It's a beautiful game. But let me tell you who you don't want to play in chess, Jim.
Pierney?
Don't play Bob Pierney, dude. He will crush your feelings. If you think you're good at chess,
I'm not. I'm more. Wait, I got a quick story. Good story. My second son's name is Eugene, of course, after my grandfather. His middle name is Wayne, after my uncle just recently passed away. So my uncle Wayne and my grandfather used to play chess when he was a teenager all the time. They'd play for a dollar, right? And my uncle never won. And then finally they played and they kept playing. Dad, I'm going to play again, right? And Wayne started winning. So they had like $5 each. Anyway, Wayne went to bed with his five and his dad's five. Mm-hmm. My grandfather got him up at 4 a.m. and played him in chess until he got all his money back.
I love that. Oh, no easy wins. I ain't letting you win nothing.
Nope. Got all his money back and said, all right, you can go back to bed.
Well, you know, my dad taught me chess. And then I got to an age where I started to beat him and he hasn't played me since. He goes, as soon as you start beating me, I'm done. I'm not about to sit here and get beaten on by my son at something. So I haven't played him since I was 13.
Okay. I thought you were going to say like 18 or something.
Nope. 13.
It'd be funny if you would be like, I haven't played him since I was six.
No. I was a teenager at least.
There you go. Yeah,
13. And he was like, same with billiards. I have a pool table. I've had a pool table in my house for many years. So I'm pretty good at it. And, he only plays on my team. If he sees me, he'll go in. He'll go, is Glenn playing? And he'll turn around and leave. And I'm like, Dad. But yeah, everybody has their thing. And I'm a pretty good billiard player. But yeah, man, I knew Roquan was going to be a good chess player, man. Without even seeing, I only watched the first half of Ravens Wired, Tanja. So I do got to watch the second half because I do love the Ravens Wired segments. Yeah. They're pretty awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's it for us tonight, folks.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
We got some big announcements coming up. We're going to be working on some behind the scenes stuff on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button, turn your notifications. We'll be back shortly, whether it's Thursday or Friday. I guess I shouldn't commit us already to Thursday. It could be Friday. We'll decide. Either way, by the end of this week, we'll have some cool stuff coming out. We're looking forward to it. But that's it for us tonight, folks. And we'll talk to you soon.
See you.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.